dial your password and press pound. You have 1 new message and 4 saved messages. To review, press 1. First new message sent today at 12 a.m.
In the years before the personal computer, there was the telephone. In the days before the World Wide Web, in the wee small hours before the dawn of email, there was voicemail. From the late 80s to the mid 90s, in the suburban sprawl of Silicon Valley, there existed a community of voicemail box owners, or voice jailers.
Voice jailers, a ragtag cadre of four philosophical insomniacs bound together by the humming copper filament of their own collective isolation. This is their story. These are their voices. This is Midnight Voice Jail.
When you go to sleep, the imagination is allowed to play, unfettered by the conscious mind. And yet the body is immobilized so that it doesn't get into any trouble.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I think I will go on a brief tangent concerning dreams. Certain dreams in particular that I've had. I don't like water either, meaning big bodies of water. I don't like, for instance, at the beach, I won't go in the water. I mean, at least not very far. I don't go swimming in the ocean because I think about things out there in the water, and it's such an alien element, and like you're just more or less helpless, you know, in the water. I mean, I'll go in a swimming pool, but not like an ocean or a lake, things like that I stay out of. In this dream, it was like I was in this body of water, just like, it was like, you know, it must have been an ocean. There was myself and like a lot of other people. We were in the water, you know, just floating there, kind of helpless, dog paddling, just staying afloat. And then this man came to me. He was like floating on a piece of wood, you know, basically what it was. And he was this tall, lanky, kind of sinister black man. And he came up to me, and I got onto the piece of wood that he had. It was long, you know. And it was like I knew, we didn't exchange any words, yet I knew that he would swim. He would do the swimming for me. He would power me while I held onto his piece of wood to a body of land or somewhere safe and solid, you know, out of the water. And I was willing to do this even though I knew that it was going to cost me something horrible, something that I don't know exactly what, you know, but I knew the price that I had to pay for this was going to be something really horribly sinister and just kind of evil and bad, you know, and yet I did it anyway. And so I attached myself to his piece of wood, and he started going. And, you know, he hadn't been going very long. We hadn't been moving along very long at all, when all of a sudden I looked behind me and down into the water behind me. And not very far below the surface of the water, and I could see it very clearly, you know, like apparently the water was very clean in my dream. But just behind me, like a matter of feet, down not very far below the surface of that water, was this huge, I mean, we're talking just, you know, primitive, primal, huge shark. And it was coming right towards us. And I can tell you, I have never felt such a sharp, incredible, just a sharply, incredibly potent feeling of fear, just solid right in the pit of my stomach. I was so afraid of that shark because I knew it was just going to come and swallow me alive. It was going to eat me. And I was so afraid, and there it came. But then at the last instant, it did not get me. It went after the man, the black man, who was my guide or whatever he was, and it went after him, and he went swimming away somewhere. And then it was like I was left there with a piece of wood.
When you open the door, will your mystery date be a dream or a dud?
Oh! I'll show you.
I'll show you.
I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
When Gabriel Beck decided to join the Dream Date Video Dating Club,
need I say more?
He didn't really expect that things would change all that much.
Watch this.
Hi. I'm Susan.
I'm Felicity.
Call me Jane. Call me Bree.
This is Gabriel Beck or Dominique Lizzie.
I'll be right down.
But when his dates began to show up dead, his life changed overnight.
I'm booking you for the murders of Bree McCullough and Sue Lyon.
And for Gabe, what started out as the night of his dreams.
Hey, I thought last time was pretty great.
Yes, it was great. Do you need to ask?
Turned into a nightmarish encounter with murder.
She was dead when I got there.
The law.
Oh, your boyfriend just erased another young lady's video.
And the woman he loves.
I never should have believed you.
Now, Gabe is a pawn in a deadly dating game where to win is to survive. And the killer's next victim may just be his perfect match. Elliot Gould.
Remember me?
Lawrence Monison. Brenda Bakke. Anthony Geary. Knots Landing's Terry Austin. And Playboy's Eloise Brody. In a film about dating in the 80s. Dangerous Love.
Anyhow, yeah, I've been drinking G&Q white port wine the last two or three days. Because it's a mellower booze than red port. Red port is if you wanna party. You wanna party, pull off the red. Even though I don't think the alcohol content is any different, it just seems to be a different high. And red port, G&Q port, tastes almost like cough syrup. It's really powerful, whereas the white is much mellower. Anyhow, I haven't done anything. I've written a couple essays. I wrote a 24-page short story a couple days ago. That's my longest so far. I've never done anything that long. And it was relatively easy. I don't know how enjoyable it was. But,
there is a... you're invited to Denny's restaurant over on Hamilton. The real cat is going to be there along with Judy, the cavern girl, and Scott, the guy who broke into your box. So you may want to meet him. I don't know. You certainly are invited, though. That's who's going to be there. That's Friday night.
So I'm just cruising along, and I'm kind of sort of depressed, but I'm not really depressed. I'm just the way I've expressed myself. My actions speak for themselves. My actions speak as my mood and my head and shit, where they're all at, and the fact that I'm not getting nothing done, and I'm getting drunk every night, and you know, this, and calling in sick tonight just so I can get drunk again, and, you know, it's that kind of pretty much sums it up of where I'm at. And I can't think of a word right now to put all that, because it's irresponsible, but it's a feeling.
Hi kids, this is Casey Sausage Casey. Is life getting you down? Are you depressed? Miserable? Strung out on several drugs? Well, KTEL has a record offer for you. It's Mr. 115's greatest rock hits of all time. You'll get Joe Walsh.
Sometimes I can't help but feeling that I'm living a life of illusion.
Yes, now you can be just like Mr. 115. Stay home. Drink port wine and fester in a seething fit of bitterness and alienation as you listen to Guns N' Roses. Friend, you won't find this record in stores. In fact, you won't find Mr. 115 in stores either. He's home all the time, stewing in elaborately rationalized feelings of burnt-out paranoid negativity. You'll get Genesis. If you order now, you'll get The Lighter Side of Mr. 115, Volume 1, The Ecstasy Years, with the timeless uplifting melodies of Chicago.
I guess I thought you'd be here forever. Another illusion I chose to create.
And the soft rock power ballads of The Black Crowes.
In that age of
And who could forget Imagination?
It's just an illusion.
Yes, this is your once-in-a-lifetime chance to own all the songs that inspired a generation. Or at least they inspired Mr. 150.
Am I really happy or is it all just
Don't despair. Order today. Help is on the way. Call 1-800-DENIAL. That's 1-800-DENIAL. That's 1-800, the letter D, the letter E, the other letter N, the Roman numeral 1, no, the letter I.
Friday, September 13th, 1:15 a.m.
I don't enjoy looking at people as we pass each other in the hallways. They all seem to be expecting something. I don't want to look at their peeling papier-mâché faces. I go out in public because of necessity, not desire. I don't enjoy looking at people as we pass each other. I look anywhere but at their faces because they make me nauseous. Period. Final.
You may start your message now.
6:56 p.m.
You're the hermit type. You like to do your thing and stay home. That's what you want to do. The dude, you're wondering why you're sick, is because you're not getting enough fresh air. And I'm not talking sitting out on the porch and getting fresh air. I'm talking moving around and going to a different spot, a different horizon, a different area. You have to get out of the house and roam around and not just going to work or taking a break through the park. I'm talking you've got to go out. You have to get out of the house. You've got to get at least 50 to 60 miles away from your house.
End of message. 1:15 a.m.
This weekend, the San Jose Symphony Orchestra will be doing Beethoven Symphony No. 10. You want to go do it? I figured we'd just get a couple of $10 tickets, go Saturday night, and do it. Do it, man. What the hell? Let's go see Beethoven No. 10, and we could dress real nice. Ooh, wouldn't it be great? I would love it. Join us to be a part of history. Let me know.
End of message. 1:15 a.m.
I changed my mind. I don't want to do anything. It's just too late in the afternoon. I just can't get started. I just can't jumpstart myself to really want to go out and do anything. I'm kind of procrastinating. I'm just shifting all my stored energy for tomorrow. I've got a lot I got to do tomorrow. A lot that I want to do. I want to go to the malls and do some Christmas shopping because right now I have tons of credit on my credit card. So just get my Christmas shopping out of the way. My library books are way overdue, and I got a bill from the library saying that if I don't pay it, they're going to send a collection agency after me, and it's like $56 ish or so. And I'm sure you're saying, yeah, what a load of shit, but it's really, you can call me, yell at me if you want, whatever.
End of message.
This is like 102.
At least
like
102.
He's great.
She's out naked on the balcony at midnight doing inventory of her treasures. You can see that?
Let me see Williams. Great.
Sick in the head.
Oh, no. One of America's greatest authors. Right there with, oh, God. Did it work? Yes, it works for me.
They don't give you a lot of food. What? They don't give you a great quality food.
I can't get you
food,
stoned.
But they do give you quite a bit.
I have no Stone Age material.
Oh, Stone Age material. Huh?
No buttage, man.
Hey, Bill, you spit on your pizza. After we dug it out of the dumpster. Hey, Billy, I know you guys are down there pouring warm milk over each other.
No.
Yeah, there is enthusiasm in that. I hope I'm not taping over to Larry King or anything here. Bill, I won't tell you this in person, but I gotta admit, no, I shouldn't say this because you'll turn into an insufferable twerp again, but you have been tolerable and we thank you for it. But if you should turn into insufferable twerp, well, I think I'll dip this in Jim's coffee right here. See? Hear it? Gurgle, gurgle. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha.
Sunday, 1:03 a.m.
Well, we had a very nice evening. I'm sorry that you weren't able to make it down there. It was quite all right. It was fairly uneventful, but quite pleasant. Major Accent, Mo Pineapple, Mr. Chemist, Worth Phoenix, along with Disco Woman, Jungle Woman, Fantasia, and a few other friends that happened to show up by accident. And it was just fine. And we weren't there that long, though. But then we didn't go to Denny's after that and had a little bite to eat, myself and Disco Woman and Jungle Woman and Fantasia. So, but it was just pleasant and fairly short and nice. Not real short, I guess about 3 hours. So, anyway, not much to report. Life is back to normal, though. My box is back, and it's going to stay back. I'm keeping it. The little bastard had the decency to release the box. So, anyway, it was quite a day, wasn't it? Quite a day, indeed.
We went to Denny's, and I was falling asleep, so we left. And the waiter didn't fill up my coffee, so we didn't leave him much of a tip. I got one thing of coffee, and it stood there, and it wasn't... It's a really low-class place, low-class, you know. And I think Bill's a nice guy and everything, but he's strange. Well, and I guess over the phone he just doesn't sound as strange as he is in person. I mean, I can't believe he was some of the things he was doing. I guess it's just my old hang-ups, like I said. I mean, I know you wouldn't be like that. I mean, hell, it's like I can tell certain people, you know what I mean, how they are over the... how they'd be in person, and I'm usually pretty correct, but with him, you don't hear over the phone the fact that he takes ice and puts it in his mouth and chomps it, must it fall out of his mouth, and then he pours his Coke into his milkshake, and then he offered me some. I was just all, what is this guy coming from that planet? Is he so rebellious to do this? I know he's...
We're really hurt and distraught and devastated by the fact
I wouldn't say that. By now, we've developed calluses. It is weird, though, that after all the talking we did, that you did not even bother to give us a little message when you did wake up, and you obviously woke up enough to leave your house.
And go see VW.
Or VX.
Bob X, yeah.
Either one, pretty heavy. If you're seeing Bob X, that's one bad thing. And if you went and saw a disco woman after everything you said last night about not seeing her and refusing to get anything together, and how you just didn't feel like doing anything today, that's pretty bad, too. And then to not leave either one of us a message, that's pretty bad. Not call us at home, that's pretty bad.
Those are all bad things, especially after we left you messages on your answering machine.
And after trying to get, and after you're wanting to do something on Sunday.
Yeah, and you said repeatedly that you wanted to get together and work on your damn song tomorrow.
I'm filled with
disappointment and
rage, anger, agony, and it hurt.
I'm very surprised that you would do that after what you said, after you wanted to work on that song.
Well, it's the marijuana he was smoking.
I can't believe that you wouldn't at least get in touch and let people know, because after all, I set aside a whole...
He is an undependable, flaky, flake-out person. We should know this, but now he can deny it all he wants and get as angry as he wants and act as hurt as he wants every time we say it, but time after time he goes and does one more thing.
And I set aside special time to help you work on that song.
Now, of course, Jim, I heard that last night you were lumping me in with him, saying, I can't believe those guys.
I didn't say nothing like that.
Well, it's just what Mr. Chemist said. He said, we're Steve and Bill, and he said, you couldn't believe those guys. How could they not show up? They're always like that. Like I was just like he is about always not... doing stuff and taking off and flaking out and taking drugs and stuff.
I doubt that. I'm sure I didn't say it.
Or as you notice, I did arrange everything and got you your ride and everything, so.
Well, it was very nice of you.
Yeah, then I didn't go because this woman gave me a 10-minute.
End of message.
This one dream I had, and this, I'm telling you, this one's weird, and I remember it actually vividly, the whole thing. It was, I don't know, it was about in fourth grade, 10 or 11 years old, and this plane was going across the sky, and, well, it was going low, it was really low, that's what I was tripping on, but I went to bed and I went to sleep, and I dreamed about this plane, that I was out in the front yard, I was in the backyard when I first saw the plane, and in my dream I was in the front yard, and I looked up and it was a small plane. And there's a guy hanging from it, and he falls all the way to our front yard. The guy stands up, his head split open from his forehead. I can see like his skull or something. This is the strangest. I'm telling you, this is weird. He gets up, and there happens to be a bike right next to him. He gets on the bike and he starts riding off. Now this is when I'm in. This is when I was like 10 years old. No acid trips, no nothing. It's just way off the wall. Anyway, I think nothing of it, and I get in my, I'm getting in my grandfather's Cadillac. This is when I live with my grandparents, and we're driving off, going to a friend's house. On the way to our friend's house, here's this guy riding his bike with his head still split open, and I'll have to say I don't remember it all, but he did say something to me, and I can't remember what he said. He's like waving to me, smiling, and he said something to me. It was like a blonde, kind of like shoulder length, short or straight blonde hair. I don't know if he looked like this one guy. He played the Phoenix or something, some series. He kind of looked like that. That's who I'm picturing. But we go to a friend's house, and for some reason our friends, you know, it was just, you know, like a few miles away, and we're in the city, and they bought a seal. This is in my dream. It's just off the wall stuff, man. It's,
I'm having big, long, bad nightmares. And they're really frustrating. They kind of make you want to hit something when you wake up.
For the last 10 years, I had every 3 or 4 months, I had envisioned myself perishing in a flaming car wreck. And this is serious, I'm not kidding you.
I swear to God, I was wide awake. I could see, you know, my room, you know, just a little bit, you know, there's a little bit of illumination in there. My eyes were adjusted to where I could see my room, and I could see this thing walking in my bedroom and sitting on my bed.
Every few months I had that dream, but I know somebody said, I don't like the driver was unidentified.
Anyway, I looked at I could see my bedspread. It was a car. It looked like a car.
It was a small car, though, and I was sitting in the passenger seat, and the driver was trying to pass someone on a hill. It may have either been Highway 9 or Highway 17, and the driver was passing someone, and anyway, it resulted in a flaming car accident in which I perished.
Walk out of the house, down my car, go ahead and smoke, and got a bottle of wine in my hand, and I see a cop car.
I'm looking at the door, and a shadow walks in. It was just a big black figure. I couldn't see a body. It was just a big black figure with bushy hair.
I look at the cop, and he's afraid, so I'm not laying on the floor.
I knew at the time that I was 33, so during that 33rd year, and I was really sweating it, and I'm not kidding, I was real hesitant to sit in the right-hand passenger seat in the front. I didn't want to duplicate the conditions of the dream.
I know it was looking at me. I couldn't see the face, but it was staring at me, just looking at me.
Ticket. Turns out
Kenny
got Mike the front end of my car. Ticket was for
$8,082. I'm like, whoa. I'm not kidding you. After my 33rd year, when I turned 34, man, I kind of raised the sigh of relief.
And I thought it was my mom. And it's like, anyway, I'm going. I said, Mom. And they didn't say anything.
That was strange. I don't know what the hell would cause dreams like that. I don't have the slightest idea.
Go, Mom.
I don't know what that meant. I really don't. I also had some very, really disturbing dreams, too, about once or twice a year, I'll have a dream where all my teeth will fall out.
Mom! It got up, and it kind of didn't run, but it walked very fast out of my room.
Really strange.
I was either dreaming, or it was some sort of entity, some sort of spirit, some sort of something, but that scared me, man.
I envision someday that science will come up with a way by which we can record our dreams three-dimensionally, somehow. We can hook up some electrodes somehow to us and to our brains, place electrodes on our scalp, and then be able to make recordings, holograms of our dreams. It's not totally outside the realm of possibility, and maybe there'll be a way to do it one day.
Line 5. After this recording, you'll be connected to a free party line, or you'll be connected one-on-one. If you're connecting one-on-one, there'll be music when there's no one on the other line. This call is free, plus toll if any. Please keep your language clean. Somewhere, lurking out there, might be someone dangerous, so proceed at your own risk. Anyone under 18 years of age, ask your parents before talking to strangers. If you're into freaking, this is not the right place to be telling people about it. The system operator's number is 8191. If you have a conflict with someone, please try not to fight on the line. This is a place for friends. You're on line number 5. Lady may be asked what line you're on. If you don't know, you will be cut off. You're on line number 5.
Choose 1 for the living room for general conversation. Choose 2 for the master bedroom for private conversation. Choose 3 for the spare bedroom for private conversation. Choose 4 to play the maze. Choose 5 to go to the post office. Choose 6 for a list of post office directory numbers. Choose 7 to gamble for more time. Or 0 for the news. You are now entering the living room. If you hear music, please stay on the line. Someone else will be calling shortly. Choose 1 for the living room. You are now entering the master bedroom.
You have a right to be free.
You are now entering the spare bedroom.
The last person to successfully escape the maze was...
Hi, this is Scott.
IP terminating you now. Who?
You enter the labyrinth and the large iron door is clang shut behind you. From here, you can only go east. East is number 6 on your touchtone phone. Press star at any time to return to the main menu. You can go south, east, or west. Dead end. You can only go east from here. You can go south, east, or... You can go north or south. You can go south, east, or west. You can go east or west. You can go south, east, or west.
I said I was Albert, and you said you were me. Yeah, Marina, Serena, your eyes are out of the shop. I said I was Albert, and you said you were me.
Yeah, Marina, Serena, your eyes are out of the shop.
I said I was Albert, and you said you were me.
Yeah, Marina,
I said I was Albert, and you said you were me.
Yeah, Marina, Serena, your eyes are out of the shop.
Yeah, Marina, Serena, your eyes are watching.
I said I was Albert,
yeah,
and you
Marina,
said you
Serena,
were me.
Yeah, Marina, Serena, your eyes are watching now.
Yeah, Marina, Serena, your eyes are out of the shop.
Ciao, 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 ciao. 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 Hinja. Hinja. Hinja.
I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. I'm out.
I say,
I'm out.
I'm out.
I'm out.
I'm out.
I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. I'm out.
I'm out.
I'm out.
I'm out.
I'm out.
I'm out.
I'm out.
I'm out.
I'm out.
I'm out.
I'm out.
I'm out.
I'm out.
I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. Thank you. Thank you.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm out.
Wait a minute. You mean me?
Now I'm confused. Now I'm confused.
Now
I'm confused.
Now I'm confused.
Now I'm confused.
I think we should get on. I think we should get on.
I think we should get on.
Did you want to ask me why?
I meant rent.
play with your box?
No.
Please, honey. We never do anything. You're so cold. You just sit there and then you just tell people what to do and leave messages, and you're just like a little operator, but you'll never let me kiss you. Please let me kiss you.
No.
Oh, please. What do you want me to do?
Record.
Record what?
A greeting for your caller.
Oh, man, I don't want to. Don't make me do that again.
Record a greeting for your caller.
Okay, but can't we please just have a little...
No.
Oh, man.
Mailbox is full. Please try again later. Bye. 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 Mailbox is full. Please try again later. Bye. 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 Mailbox is full. Please try again later. Bye. 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 Mailbox is full. Please try again later. Bye. 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 Mailbox is full. Please try again later. 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 Bye.
Non-sequitur, your facts are uncoordinated.
Mailbox is full. Please try again later. Bye.
Non-sequitur, your facts are uncoordinated.
Mailbox is full. Please try again later. Bye.
Non-sequitur, your facts are uncoordinated.
Mailbox is full. Please try again later. Bye.
Non-sequitur, your facts are uncoordinated.
Mailbox is full. Please try again later. Bye. Mailbox is full. Please try again later. Bye. Mailbox is full. Please try again later. Bye. Mailbox is full. Please try again later. Bye.
Hi, this is Ray. I'm just calling in, make a new message here. I went out last night and I met someone real special. And I'm over at her house right now. And we're having I had a really good time and just want to say that.
Help me with my zipper,
Ray. Yeah, well, there we go. Yeah. And,
Oh, that's so much.
Anyway, I just want to say, if anybody...
Thanks.
I just want to say...
I want you. I want you.
Leave a message and I'll get back to you.
I'm waiting, Ray.
I'm on my way.
Thank you. I want you to make wild, violent love.
Okay.
You dirty...
What are you doing here? I thought you were out of town.
Oh, my God.
What did you think?
I expected a little more from you, Ray.
You think I care about a loser like Ray? I did it to hurt you.
Hurt me? Well, your teaching days are over, street me.
Ray, what are you doing with that gun?
I'm going to teach you and this little know-nothing wimp a lesson.
What?
That's what I'm doing with the gun.
No.
Thank you.
Welcome to Lockheed's Victorian, home of the world's largest motion picture experience.
I'm Casey Kane.
This theater features an IMAX film projection system, which utilizes a film stock three times the size of standard 70mm film. The film sits on platters and is pulled horizontally through the projector past a 15,000-watt xenon projection lamp. The screen you see before you measures 65 feet tall by 89 feet wide. The sound you hear originates from a four-way, six-channel digital sound source. The theater has 1,000 seats. For the comfort and safety of all, please refrain from smoking, eating, and flash photography. If you must leave during the performance, please exit through the left center curtain. At the end of the film, please exit through any door to the left. And now, Paramount's Great America and the Lockheed Corporation are very pleased to present Destiny in Space.
Stupid movie, give me my money back. I work, yes. So we own the land.
Space.
We're happy about that. With Marietta. Well, no, they're pending. We'll ever make them huge. Not Marietta.
In the Milky Way galaxy, circling a star called the Sun, is a small planet inhabited by intelligent life.
Prove it.
Earthlings have always been curious creatures.
I didn't know they could move.
Even as we discovered our own world, we dreamed of exploring others.
Yeah, it's high speed.
Perhaps other beings inhabit planets around distant stars. If they're sending signals, we could detect them with this powerful radio telescope and maybe send a signal back across the cosmos. But might we ourselves leave our home on Earth to explore new worlds?
Let me think about it.
December 3rd, Great America, Santa Clara, California. Bill and Jim are in the studio getting ready to sing.
Hey, this is a part where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay. Now?
Shh.
Oh, sorry.
I think it goes on.
Tomorrow all the things were gone. I'd worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away.
And I'm proud to be an American. I know I'm free, and I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Like a robot.
Right here. Okay, now, musical interlude.
like a banana cheeseburger from Radio Blaze. What are you doing there, trying to sing there? Hey, it's my song.
Yes,
my turn, thank you very much.
Go ahead.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from the Detroit down to Houston, and New York to L.A.
I've been through that part of the country.
For there's some pride in a merry American heart, and it's time we stand and say, thank you very much.
That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land.
Love this land.
Bless the U.S.
Thank you very much.
Oh, excuse me.
All right. God,
that was sweaty. That was wonderfully discordant.
Did they play that out here? Oh, good.
I didn't. Did you hear us? My car was the only car doing that. Every other car is just hanging there. My car's doing this. The whole ride, wobbling. Because, you know, the roller coaster ride was much worse than that.
Yeah.
That's just a constant spinning. The force pushes you down in your seat. It feels like you're just sitting in a seat, dude. You're not thinking about that. Goodness sakes.
I love you, man. Wherever you go, we'll always be together. Especially as long as you owe us money.
Hey, they're presenting a musical salute to America. Be quiet.
What'd you say? In your headphones, you heard the original guy singing. You couldn't hear your own voice.
Oh, really?
So it was like you were seeing, you know, when people sing when they have the Walkman on.
Right.
It sounded like that.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Huh. You should be able to hear your own voice louder
you
than
you can. You can. You said you can hear your own voice too.
And it's dipping ducks.
Hey, don't be a little too
George
jerky.
Edison. We now end our broadcast.
Remember all that time ago, long time ago, when we came in here and we saw that and we stood there? That was years ago.
Really go up.
We didn't go up there.
Yet another place shall be visited upon you.
Is it closed? Is it all closed? Is it all closed now? Is it all closed?
Yeah. Well, we're all closed. You know it? Sorry. It's all closing. Rear window.
This is where they filmed it.
And this is where they filmed Shane and Roman.
Hey, they don't even prep Jack to answer there. What a rip off.
My favorite, Roman Holiday.
The greatest show.
Did Montgomery Cliff blow his brains out?
Mm-hmm.
Montgomery Cliff?
Uh-huh.
Did he commit suicide?
Please wait at the exit gate. Do not open that gate.
Yeah, you were also talking about dreams and wondering if the people in your dreams live on, you know, after you wake up. And yeah, I've thought thoughts like that before as well. You know, it's pretty hard pill to swallow that all the characters in your dreams are figments of your imagination. You know, and it also makes you wonder why you would imagine such things. Because quite often in our dreams, we're in situations that we wouldn't want to be in our waking life, you know. And you wonder, why did I dream about that? Why did I dream about that situation? Why did I dream about that toilet overflowing? Why did I dream about killing someone? Why did I dream about being chased? You know, blah, 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 blah. So, but I tend to agree with Freud in respect to, I think dreams are, for the most part, just wish fulfillment. Just deep-seated wish fulfillment. A place where you can just be and act crazy and not have to suffer any kind of, you know, consequences. You know, in your dreams you can kill and just do all kinds of bad things, and there's no, you know, consequences to them, generally speaking. Although, you know, how many times have you had dreams where it's affected the mood of your day? You know, I mean, that certainly has happened to me many a time.
Stop, says the Burgermeister as he sits atop the dark bell tower eating chili fries and laughing hysterically at passing clowns, heads bowed against the downpour as they pass another day. Great swaths of crimson-red spread across the canvas of life. Entire worlds are here to go, and it is nothing more than collective atoms rubbing, rubbing, rubbing against each other, waiting for the meteor to strike. Not me, one of them says, and ventures out on his own. Last night's dream. Me is Winston Smith in Brazil. I'm putting coins into a fortune-telling machine. I win $100 and I dance a jig there in front of the spinning diodes, laughing and clapping my hands before the night lady comes by to see what's wrong. Subdued, I wander into a large white-tiled bathroom and I feel safe there, but soon I find myself in a reclined bicycle race toiling down dirt roads in South America. One of the racers pulls ahead to the finish line at the last moment and I collapse at the side, wheezing and twitching, eyes flush and tearing, dreaming of this other world in which I drag a huge bag of meat off the third-story balcony of an old courthouse. This contains an entire cow, I say, and I throw it onto the pool table that hungry men lean across, waiting to drag the load up into a white van. I jump down and pull out an entire calf carcass, black burned and blue. I pull off a crunchy strip of flesh and find myself back in the Fahrenheit 451 bathroom dungeon. I hide in there with all my friends. I tend to my aquarium, suffused in an ultraviolet light, the fish's voices playing themselves out on the tiny scratchy speaker there on the side of my desk, barely audible against the bubbles which trail frantically to the surface. This is the place of lying about, I think. This is the place away from the rules. This is the place of the tiny television screens and dripping faucets and quiet, still air, away from dust motes and stomping feet and always keeping on, moving forward and onward to this place, I think. And then there's a knock on the door as the monocled uniformed thugs start opening it to see what's inside. I hide underneath the console sink and they come in and take my friends away. Eventually, of course, they do find me under there with the help of Lieutenant Uhura, smiling maniacally as her sharp breasts point at me from her blood-red miniskirt, and they drag me out. Men in khaki uniforms and white helmets, feet first, I am dragged, subdued again. They beat me on the bottom of my feet until I pass out from the pain, and later I am made to drag large boxes down railroad tracks. I find myself alone again, outside the city in the Badlands, outside, running through mud puddles of no food or shelter. I come across the stuffed-up hole that leads back to my lazy bathroom. I try to sleep, imagine myself in there, but I am only waiting to be discovered again. I move on amidst the trees and rocks, and soon I am chased by hungry dogs who do not bark very much when they find me, but go back to tell their grim masters who come to take me away again. Surely I will be killed this time. But in the meantime, the mud puddle is so warm, and all I want to do is sleep. And when I wake up, I imagine that I am in a studio apartment, listening to a dripping faucet. My watch says 3:41 a.m., and I blink and stare off into the darkness, waiting for sleep to claim me again.
In this one dream, it was like, it was nighttime. I'm standing, it's nighttime, I'm standing at this river, and it's like a, it's a great, strongly flowing river, you know, and it's kind of beautiful in the nighttime, and, you know, in the nighttime, and the moonlight, and so forth, and I'm naked, or at least, or if I'm not naked, I take off my clothes, you know, by the side of the river there, and then I jump into the river, and like I submerge into it, and then I rise up, and I remember the feeling of that dream. It was incredible. Just the river flowing all around me, the water just cleansing, and it was really an incredibly beautiful, sensual kind of feeling, very, just the way it was cleansing me, and so forth, and that was kind of a neat dream, and I don't know, you could, once again, you know, you could read any amount of symbolism into that, I suppose. I thought it was kind of interesting how that was a river, and the other ones were always like oceans, you know, and great huge bodies of water.
You have been listening to the Best of Midnight Voice Jail, Volume 3, Maze of Dreams. This program was produced by Phineas Snarko and the National Synecdoche Network. Special thanks to Al Newport, Ronald Redfall, KFJC, and all voice jailers everywhere. The National Synecdoche Network home site is at www.nationalsynecdoche.com. This program was created in the spring of 2004. Thanks for listening.